Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us. Your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up the stream and the fastest way is go directly to the 1150kknw.com website. Click on Listen Upper Left and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And golly, it's the first Sunday of September already, and winding down the summer, and the weather is kind of showing that out there, and so glad for the rain. And being in that at Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday, and doing more than her share of helping all kinds of animals in this country, and but mainly in India. And that, of course, would be our next guest, Chief Cook and Bottle Washer from Help Animals India, Eileen Weintraub is here. Good morning, Eileen, and welcome back to Animal World.
Hey, good morning. Happy full moon.
Happy full moon and lunar eclipse.
Yeah.
Double whammy here.
That, but I want to talk about India because there's not much time this morning.
Right, so you're gonna take off at the bottom of the hour. You got things to do. So, what's on the agenda today? Tell us about Help Animals India.
Okay, well, Help Animals India is located right here in our area, Seattle, Washington, and we are a USA nonprofit, and we give grants, training, and advice to the animal groups in India, and helpanimalsindia.org. And before I get into what's happened in August, I just want to just say what a special country India is, because I'm not saying, there's places all over the world that need our help, but India has the philosophy, the understanding that, you know, animals are part of our world and integrated into our world, and the love and care for animals is almost endemic to, you know, the population. And in terms of the word ahimsa, which is a Sanskrit word which means non-harming. And, you know, Gandhi taught that, and, you know, no killing, things like that. But no, not harming isn't always the same as helping. So India has 1.4 billion people now, and I'm sure about 1% at least of them want to help the animals, the street animals. So those are the people, you know, they say, oh, why aren't you helping people instead of animals? But, you know, we're helping the people who are out on the street rescuing the animals and caring for the animals. So, you know, that's what we do, and that gets what gives us the greatest satisfaction to help them help the animals.
Well, and there have been some recent kind of upheavals, especially in the Delhi area.
Okay.
Have you got anything?
We have a lot to say about that. It happened in August, since I was on last, and it you know, Delhi is a very big city, and you know, there's a lot of you know, our air quality was bad, you know, recently. Their air quality is like that almost all the time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, it's a very stressful place to live. So, you know, I know you've always been shocked by the figure of 35 million street dogs in India. Well, a lot of them are in the Delhi area, maybe 1 million, I don't know. And the Supreme Court of India came out with a ruling which was completely impractical and shocking, that they were going to round up all the street dogs and put them in shelters.
Yeah, and I think that didn't. I think that started because a young girl died of rabies.
Yeah, well,
and that's what started because. And I think, the really unusual part, Eileen, was that the court wasn't asked to weigh in on this subject. They heard about what happened to this little girl and all of that, and the court did this on their own. What they did was regulate. Didn't they say that all of these dogs had to be rounded up?
Well, it was completely impractical because there's no shelters. And someone said, oh, you can put them all in kennels. No, not kennels, just, you know, fields with a fence and, you know, thrown thousands of dogs. Well, you know, at least it's against the rules of India animal welfare laws to outright kill them. So there you go. However, that was completely impractical. They don't have the shelters. But anyhow, what happened was a huge uproar all across India.
Huge protests.
Yeah, all over. Started protesting. We love our community dogs. And let me just say that, you know, in our area, it's hard to imagine dogs running around the street. But in a lot of India, there's a lot of, you know, people maybe live in a village. It's impractical to have a dog in your house, so they have them outside the house. And the shopkeeper might have a dog just outside. And, you know, they're part of the life there, if you can imagine it. So anyhow, the big uproar came and they rolled back the ruling. However, they said all aggressive dogs or rabid, of course, will be put down. But the thing is, who's going to decide who's aggressive? And what this ruling did was give an excuse for all the dog haters to come out and start harassing the people who love the dogs. So that's the sad part.
Wow. So that's all still going on over there, Eileen?
Yeah, I saw some images. They burnt the dog. You know, it's just things like that. So, but my hope and my prayer, and this is Eclipse time, so we can... It's good time. It's good to pray at this time. Is that more animal birth control, as you know, we call it ABC, spay neuter vaccination, will come from all this, from all sides. The government has to do more. The groups have to do more. We have to do more. From Help Animals India, that's where your donation, Martha. Thank you so much. Is going every month. To spay and neuter and just get the population within a bit, you know, better control. You know, they shouldn't be having puppies on the street and things like that. So,
the more we can contribute to Help Animals India, folks, the more we can help with this issue. You know, in other countries or other places, you know, the decision might have been made, okay, you got to round up all those dogs and kill them. But like what Eileen referred to in the beginning of our conversation, the ahimsa, the idea of doing no harm, that's built into the law of India. You can't just kill the animals. And that's what she said. They revere animals more than we do in this country and other places. So it's actually, they can't round them up and kill them. So when they said round them up, what are they going to do? And, put them behind it, put them all in a fence. You can imagine a million dogs in a fenced area. I mean, it is, like she said, totally impractical. So the real important thing is that we've got to keep money going to Eileen and Help Animals India so they can do more with the ABC program, which is animal birth control, you know, and spay and neuter and then release. And I know they're making efforts to coordinate how the feeding is done of these animals in places, so to discourage huge packs of dogs and so forth. And
we have
to help with the animal birth control. That's the way to help solve the problem. Cutting down on the numbers of the dogs is stop them from breeding.
Feed them in certain places and, you know, not have a dog running after your food and things like that. So we're giving grants and money and so they're announcing to all the community feeders to bring in their dogs, you know, and then they can get them all fixed.
So you guys are doing what you can to help with all of that.
Yeah. And then, of course, some of the infrastructure needs to be improved, you know, where they can bring them in and have the vets working very hard. The dogs.
But it seems like there was quite an uprising when they started making these new rules, that the people really did get out in the streets and protest.
And it's made a
difference too.
Yeah, that was great to see.
So what else is going on over there we need to know about?
Oh, just the usual. They're having some monsoon flooding. So, some rescues are going on. And,
is it monsoon season now in India?
Yeah, it's starting, which, they need the rain. And that's happening. And the elephants are good. We're supporting six of them now at the sanctuary. And we're trying to do more cat spay and neuter also. And the vets aren't very good at that. So apparently it's a more complicated operation than dogs. So they have to be better trained.
Well, it isn't more complicated. They're just smaller.
Yeah.
And smaller makes a difference. It isn't pretty much their anatomy is very similar. And a spay in a cat is the same in a dog. It's a complete ovariohysterectomy. They go in and they take the uterus and the ovaries. So when it gets a little more complicated is when you're dealing with a smaller animal like a kitty, well, ovaries aren't very big to begin with. And so if you have a little animal, they can be hard to find. So it's not that it's more complicated. It's just that they're smaller and it's more complicated just because sometimes the organ and the tissues you need to remove are a little harder to find.
Okay. Well, you go come over and tell the vets that and encourage
yeah, them. Well, having worked in veterinary medicine for 20 years, I know these things.
Right.
But, it takes practice and some skill. If you know what you're doing, you're in and out in less than 10 minutes on a spay. But, if they don't have any practice doing this, there's some practice involved. If you're, doing anything that's intricate with your fingers, especially if there's stitching and sewing involved, it takes some practice to coordinate fingers, especially a large adult fingers, to work on small animals. So it's mostly just technique and learning all of that, and some practice.
About the chemical, all these years we've heard about the shot, chemical sterilization, it has so many side effects, and for male dogs, it has to be given in the testes, so you might as well just, operate at that point.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Any news about that advancing? Martha, have you heard?
No.
No.
And now they can... Well, I know that in some worlds, they instead of neutering, they do vasectomies like they do with humans. It's currently in my mind simply because last night on Animal Planet, my favorite animal TV, one of my favorite shows is Dr. Jeff, Rocky Mountain Vet. And we need a Dr. Jeff in every state in this country. I mean, the best vet on the planet. The guy is so gifted and so generous and is always doing support of rescues and sanctuaries and that sort of thing. One of the things that they did on one of the shows Saturday, Eileen, is he went to a wolf sanctuary, was wolves and wolf hybrids sanctuary. And he went to, treat the wolves for free and stuff. And but what I didn't realize, and I just learned last night, is that the wolf sanctuary with the wolves, they don't neuter them. They do vasectomies so because they want them to live as natural a life as possible in the sanctuary. So you have a pack of wolves, so they can still be a pack of wolves and be males and females and breed. They just don't make babies. But they behave the same. So I thought that was interesting that they don't actually neuter the wild wolves in that particular wolf sanctuary. But, doing that in a practical situation, we spay and neuter not just to prevent the reproduction and puppies and kittens. We do it because unspayed and unneutered cats and dogs can have more behavior problems. They're more likely to be...
More problems, uterine cancer and all sorts of things that.
So, that more diseases and more hormonally-based cancer.
Finally, after all these years, I've convinced some of the shelters to at least not wait till 6 months, at least bring down to 4 months. There's for the cat space. They're still not doing it at 2 months like they do here. They're just not confident enough about the surgery. And the fact is, a lot of kittens didn't survive. So it was like, why put them through that? You know, so anyhow, we finally got them from 6 months doing it at 4 months. So that's
Now, I just have that, just talked to Marilyn, Meow Cat Rescue. And what they do, because, you know, they won't adopt anything out that isn't spayed and neutered and vaxxed and chipped and all that stuff. The kittens go into foster care until they're way enough. And they judge on weight, not necessarily age.
Right. I think it's 2 kilograms. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know kilograms, but they say they have to be 3 pounds before they can be spayed and neutered. And usually that's about three months, they said. So anyway, that's what they just.
Okay.
Yeah. So about 3 pounds, 3 months is kind of what Meow is doing. So it sounds like they could, if you're getting them down to doing it, what you said at,
Four months.
All right, so you're getting closer.
We always did it at 6 to 8 months, and so now that did it at 4 months. Well, they're a long way from having foster homes and things like that in India. So doing the best they can. Just the idea of cats as pets was relatively new.
With related to what I said, earlier, Eileen, in that, cats are smaller than dogs, so it's a more intricate surgery. So, so you can imagine, though, if they're doing really young, you get down to 4-month-old kittens or 3-month-old, they're even teenier. So that makes the surgery even more intricate and harder for bigger fingers to do.
Yeah, but I heard that when they're that young, they bounce back really quickly from the surgery. So that's good.
They do. It isn't necessarily the best thing for our animals to be spayed and neutered that young. It does have an influence on their skeletal development and all that sort of thing. But there are pros and cons on both sides, neuter and spay early or later. You can make a case either way. But I totally honor the shelters and rescues. And even though in the bigger picture, it might be better to keep them intact longer, it makes so much more sense to do them younger because us humans are not responsible, and
we're finally getting the kills and those in our shelters down, and you remember decades ago how high they were, and I don't know what they currently are, but the early spay and neuter is a large part of that.
So, and pretty much all the shelters, nobody's going to adopt out animals that aren't spayed and neutered.
Yeah, and we have a long way to go with that, and even getting. So that's why there's no adoption for very few for community dogs. When they have the puppies, they're just destined for a life on the street, and with people, they. Maybe a lot of them turn up their nose at the native dogs, even though they're wonderful, wonderful breeds, and they want the breed dog instead, and then the breed dogs are mixing with the native dogs when they're thrown out on the street. But anyhow, what the native dogs look like, and some people adopt them. You see them here, they'll adopt them, like from the Caribbean. They'll come here. India's too far for us to bring dogs here. Only if, somebody is visiting India and they just can't leave that, dog on the street, then, we have a link on our website, how to bring a dog here, but it's very expensive. So we spend money.
And in terms of what I see native dogs from other countries, like Thailand, a lot of Asian countries.
Well, even Thailand is closer to the U.S.
Right. So I see those, and I see Korean dogs, a lot of dogs out of Korea. Forth, but I rarely see dogs from India.
Well, you don't know. We have one dog that comes to our spiritual center.
Right. So, and I had, I know I worked through you years ago, Eileen, with someone that to help them bring a dog back from India. You were instrumental in helping them do that. But that's the only dog I know of that came here from India, but that's only because I was involved in connecting you with these people and you helped them facilitate that.
Right.
But it just is too far away. You know, it just, we don't end up with a lot of Indian dogs.
I don't know if I want to bring up a depressing subject, but we did have some dogs rescued from the dog meat trade. This is a part of India that's close to China.
Oh,
so,
The
people have that habit. You know, some of them are more ethnic in that way. And so this, you know, this was a big rescue that went on, and it's just really, you know, you see the dogs, they're just tied up in sacks with their heads out. Anyhow, they were able to be rescued, about 30 dogs. So that's one of the groups built in far northeast India. So we were.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, because now I do see dogs out from the Korean meat trade. You know, the dogs that would have been sold as meat, but so I see them sometimes for once they've been adopted over here, and I have to help rehabilitate them. So that's really good.
Really,
I didn't know there was a meat trade in India, but it's just very close to China is where it's happening.
Pretty much, and then also the cat meat trade, some of the tribal groups. Anyhow.
All righty. Well, I know you've got to leave soon, but anything else
on
your list you want to talk about?
No, everyone thank Martha for everything she does, and we're just so happy to be able to share some of the work here, and it's ongoing, and you know, this recent news is a big challenge for everyone to step it up, and you know, make sure all those community dogs are spay neutered and vaccinated. We talk about vaccinated, it's just the rabies, you know, we have to at least give the rabies shot.
So folks, you know, we need to celebrate and help Eileen too, and do that by going to the helpanimalsindia.org website, helpanimalsindia.org, and sign up for the newsletter. You'll make her day if you just sign up for the newsletter. And she doesn't bombard you with all kinds of crazy emails.
Pop up, it comes, and I see you know, you're local. And, okay, well, thank you so much, and have a great and safe month, everybody, and keep doing all the good deeds you're doing and making.
And you keep up the great work you're doing, Eileen. And we'll pray for, you know, the dogs in India, and hope that they all work all of this out. And we will look forward to catching up with you again the first Sunday of October.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Thank you. Bye bye.
All right. God bless, Eileen. Bye bye. All righty then. So we have some extra time here. Let's catch up and take care of advertisers. Then we'll come back, and sometime before the top of the hour, I got a bunch of current events to share with you. And we got to catch up with Nathan. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. So stay right where you are, everybody. This is, of course, I'll remind you, the most important part of the show, because without our advertisers, there is no show. So listen, pay attention, support them, stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Does your dog or cat have a health or mobility problem that is not responding to standard veterinary care? Are you looking for a non-medical alternative? I'm Nels Rasmussen, retired chiropractor and spiritual healer. I've helped people and pets all over the world to get their happy, active lives back when nothing else has worked. To learn more, go to healingministryforanimals.com. Go to healingministryforanimals.com now.
Hello, this is Marilyn Milano, host of Love Has Many Faces on Alternative Talk 1150 KKNW. And we are all about helping animals and their people. To that end, we talk to rescue groups, medical and behavioral experts, businesses with products or services that help pet, and others who are making a difference. Tune into Alternative Talk 1150 every Tuesday from 9 to 9:30 in the morning Pacific Time. And now you can listen to Love Has Many Faces wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Just look for Love Has Many Faces and join us there.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Exploring new territory every day. This is Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, I'm Martha Norwalk, and gosh, we are midway through the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And let's see, we heard from Dr. Nils Rasmussen and his healingministryforanimals.com, and I thought, while I was listening to his ad, I would just, because remember I told you I hadn't, the newsletter hadn't come through yet, so I just checked. And guess what? Newsletter's out. Okay, so I just didn't see it. I guess I must have missed it when I looked first. So his newsletter has come out, and he says, welcome to the summer of WUV. Edition of our monthly newsletter, WUV, website utterly vanishes. So that's the title of his newsletter. But let me read you his announcement. It says, an update on my missing website. We are rebuilding it, but it's not up yet. You and the people you refer can contact me via email, okay? So y'all can reach him via email, nels@healingministryforanimals.com, nels@healingministryforanimals.com, or you can call him, and this is a new number since he moved to Idaho, so be sure you have the correct number. His current phone number is 208-451-6003. 208-451-6003. So, that's good news. They're working on the website. It's got to be any minute now that they'll get that done. Because, gosh, I think we're in at least 3 weeks now or so that it's been down. So it should be any time. But you know, you can reach him via email. You can reach him by phone. He's still available to do remote treatments. And of course, both he and Linda will be in the studio with us, will be with us next week. Nils always zooms in because he's in Idaho now. Long drive to come over here and be in the studio. Anyway, we will catch up with them next week, and hopefully, I bet their goal is to get the website up by next week so we can talk about it, but we'll see what happens. Anyway, just know that he's available to help you with your animal friends if you need him, and you can call him or email him. And if you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on, come join our Animal World family of advertisers. We'd love to have you. You can shoot us an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All righty then. So, Nathan.
Hello.
How the heck are you?
Hey, I am doing great.
Where have you
been?
What's going on? So how are you? We need to catch up with you.
It's been quite a month, and a lot has definitely happened, as we know. I let you know that in the last time we saw each other that I was going to be winging off to a place it's been a while since I've been to.
You are going back to the Philippines.
Yes, I am. And
I was able to surmise by that. The fact that you're going back, you're going to spend your birthday there this year, that it's a correct assumption to assume that there is canoodling going on again between here and the Philippines.
Yes,
so that
is
would
correct.
Be Miss Fia is back in the spotlight.
Yep, I'm getting ready to go back to see Fia again. We've
how exciting.
Gotten all back together and everything's going well, and I'm really excited for this trip coming up.
Oh, I bet. I bet so. Now, when is the trip?
It is September 29 to October 15.
And your birthday falls in there somewhere?
It is right in the middle of that, or actually more towards the beginning. So,
what's your birthday?
October 6.
October 6. So, now, are you a Libra, or are you...
Definitely a Libra.
You're a Libra.
Right in the
okay.
center of the zodiac.
Okay, so you are the scales.
Yep.
You're supposed to be a balanced person.
Right in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. So, for your birthday, and as I understand it, was it Fia's birthday when you went before?
Yes, or so the first time I went out there, it
because
was
because birthdays
for her birthday.
Are a big deal in the Philippines, aren't they? Birthdays are a big deal?
Oh, absolutely. No birthday gets missed in the Philippines, and it is a very big event. It's basically like their own Christmas, if you will.
Okay, so...
They treat it that big.
There will be a big celebration for you and your birthday.
Oh, totally. You know, I already know some of the things that are be going on in that as well. And, you know, it's been something that's been in preparation for a few months, actually, already, because there's a particular food dish which is very valued out there, and they're in the process of getting that ready. I'm not going to say much detail about that.
Well, I was just going to go there because I almost was going to say, and oh, that means, and then I went, oh.
Yeah,
it does
you remember
mean
that.
That yeah, so what I'm going to say it just because it's one of those cultural things. But that probably means that there's going to be another pig roasted for Nathan's birthday.
Yes, it is. And it, the
and
name
I know
of the...
last time when you were there, I mean, like, I don't know how you did this, but didn't you meet the pig before it became the roasted pig?
Yeah, so...
I know you sent me a picture of a cute pig.
I did, and I have seen the next, I hate to say it, pig in line. You know, for the sake of the animal world audience, Google it at your own risk, but it's called lechon, L-E-C-H-O-N, and it's not for the faint-hearted, I'll tell you that.
What, is that the name of, is that what they call roasted pigs?
That's what lechon? They call the food dish, lechon.
Okay.
Yeah, once everything is all prepared and ready to serve, it's lechon.
Yeah, and I don't know if I could, now, decades and decades and decades ago, when I was young, I remember attending a luau in Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
probably on Maui, and I had fresh roasted pork.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't meet the pig or anything, and I was young enough that I could separate that. I didn't have to admit that it was a pig. But I'll tell you, the meat was extraordinarily delicious. It was really, really good. But, you know, I don't know. Even if I could crawl into Nathan's suitcase, go along with him, I don't know that I could do that anymore. I don't think I could. Well, I'd really have to work on myself a lot. Now, and then, because that brings me to, see, I don't have necessarily the same issues that others and that... Because I don't believe there's a right or a wrong here. And because I talk to animals, and I have forever, I know that animals come up on the earth plane to be food for humans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That there isn't a right or a wrong here. No. But I'll also say for all of you, you know, vegetarians and vegans out there and all of that, there's a good case to be made that that's a better way for humans to eat. And it's not because it's right or wrong. It has to do with our digestive systems. Okay? Like dogs, if you're a vegetarian or a vegan and you got a dog and you want your dog to be a vegetarian, That doesn't work for dogs. They're carnivores. They're supposed to eat meat. And so they don't have the length of intestinal tract necessary to eat a vegetarian diet and digest the food properly. Okay? Mm-hmm. So we as humans have a longer intestinal tract and all that because we're meant to eat fruits and vegetables and a vegetarian diet. See, I don't think as a human species we were meant to eat animals necessarily. Our systems are better designed to be vegetarians, and we just didn't get the message and all of that. But just so you know, that's my understanding. That animals do come up to be food for humans. And, you know, I don't know, your pig, we'll just assume your pig is a volunteer and decided to give this lifetime to humans. And, you know, we've heard a lot about that. If you read Mary Gettin's book, Living with Orcas, she's an animal communicator, and it was one that did all the communication with our orcas here in the Pacific Northwest and our three pods out here. And she had a great relationship with Granny, the patriarch of one of the pods out here, for many, many years. And Granny was a very wise soul and explained all kinds of things to Mary. But one of the things this patriarch whale explained to Mary Gettin is, she said, you know, we live lots of lifetimes. And so sometimes we choose to donate our life to humans. And she explained, like, when the Native Americans would do the whale hunts, they just didn't go out and kill whales. They went through rituals of prayer and calling in, and they asked spirit to bring them a whale. And so then they would go out and then find the right whale, and the whales would volunteer. I had a rude awakening on that when the last time, well, there was a big fight about whether the Native Americans could do their whale hunts and all of that. And I don't know, it was a few decades ago where they got permission to go out and hunt a whale. Oh, that was a big, you know, everybody, it was all on film, and they filmed the Native Americans in their canoes and rowing out and finding the whale. Anyway, I was already doing Animal World. Maybe it was back in the 90s. I might have still been on Como, Nathan. Mm-hmm. But when it happened, it was on film and shown on all the networks and all the news. Well, I came home knowing it was happening that day, and I came home to watch, and man, I was prepared to be madder than you know what, and I was ready to go on the air and really get upset. And then I watched it. And Nathan, it was a real rude awakening for me, because I watched, you know, I watched them going out, I watched the whale come in, and all, and it was like, and I'm standing there, I had to jump up, and I'm walking in front of my TV, and I'm going, oh my God,
mm-hmm.
The whale is volunteering. The whale was saying, I'm the one. And the whale actually came up to the boat for the harpoon. It was like, holy moly. But I could feel it. I heard it from the whale, and it was like, this is not a bad thing. This whale is giving it, choosing to give its life to the Native. And that's the difference between the Native Americans and us white folk, that they have different rituals. It's kind of like in India. It's in their laws. They can't kill the animals because they revere them. Well, Native Americans are better understanding that, and respecting the animal world and all of that. And they always ask and that sort of thing. So that's an interesting – anyway, so hopefully –
The thing
your
too,
pig
I mean,
will be a volunteer, and what a discussion did we get into?
Well, that's just one half of it. I mean, of course, the animal has to be the volunteer, but of course, the humans have a responsibility to be humane,
yeah,
in the process too. I mean,
is that a consideration in that
yes,
process, Nathan?
It is. Yeah, they make sure to be very humane when it happens. You know, I don't want to get into detail and stuff like that just for the purposes
but,
of the
okay,
show.
But that is a big part of it. Well, all right. So we all get too excited. You're going back to the Philippines, and canoodling is going on. And gosh, we can't wait for a report and all the great pictures you'll send. But it sounds like you're going to have a huge celebration.
Oh, absolutely. Lots of fun to be had. In addition to the birthday, of course. I mean, the whole trip, it's just going to be making the most of it.
Have we got a Mariners update? What's going on in the game?
Well, whoever was praying at the beginning, go ahead and, like, ease up. You've done your part because the Mariners are up 10-1.
Whoa,
in the
and didn't that
inning.
Happen yesterday? Didn't they beat them 10-something?
Yes, they had a really big game yesterday as well. And so.
All right, so good news. We're winning 10-1. All right, excellent. So the Mariners are good. We covered those bases. Woohoo. The only other thing before we got to do advertisers and current events, but I went to the fair, went to the Monroe Fair. Woohoo, I'm so glad I did. But boy, I got a bone to pick. That's another biggie. I finally found out, but I'll tell you, it was wonderful to go to the fair. It is still the fair in Monroe. It's still the social event of the season. And the feeling and all of that. But the very sad part is that unfortunately my beloved Monroe Fair is dying a very slow death.
Oh, just the attendance more and more just keeps dropping. That's what you're saying?
Well, I don't know about the attendance, but I think it's down lower than ever probably, because I'll tell you, there was less traffic while the fair was going on than when it was going on, and it used to be back in the day in the 90s. The fair was going on, you couldn't get anywhere near the Highway 2 and the fairgrounds and all of that, and you really had to plan around it. It just no issue with traffic this year at all. Lot of all the good vendors, most of them are gone. A lot of the good food is gone, just regular basic fair food and a few vendors, but not hardly anything. And the big problem is it's all Puyallup's fault, the Puyallup Fair. And I didn't understand it completely, but I do know now prior, when the state owned all the state fairs, the state respected all the fairs respected each other and didn't overlap. You know, so there'd be the King County Fair, and then after that, there's the Monroe Fair. The Monroe Fair would end on Labor Day, and then the Puyallup Fair would start the Friday after Labor Day. So all the vendors could do all the fairs. Well, at some point, the state of Washington sold the Puyallup Fair to a private party. So the state no longer runs the Puyallup Fair, even though it's called the Washington State Fair. They apparently had to pay a lot of money to get that name. But now that it's held privately, they just basically middle finger and, we don't care. We're gonna be greedy and selfish and open whenever we want. So that's when they made the decide. Maybe 3 years ago when this happened. At least two, maybe three. And so instead of opening after Labor Day, they opened the Friday before Labor Day. So Puyallup began last Friday. And their rules are to the vendors, if you're food or product vendor, you can't come in late. So if the vendors want to be at Puyallup, they can't do the Monroe Fair. That's when it changed, and that's when the slow death began, and it's happening more every year. And so now I'm thinking we really need to start a boycott, and I'm looking for a place to write, because I was actually thinking of going to the Puyallup Fair this year. I'm going to write to them and say, I'm not going because you guys are selfish and greedy, and unless you change your ways and quit messing with the Monroe Fair and go back to the regular starting date after Labor Day, I'm not coming to the fair. So, and the other reason not to go is because you need to have a whole bank account just directly for the fair. I mean, parking's out, it was $15 at Monroe. It's $20 to $25 at Puyallup. Mm-hmm. Okay. Buy a sweatshirt, $70. Okay. Elephant ear, $13. Corn dog, $13. A hamburger, a sandwich, or a plate of food, $20 to $25.
Yeah, it is getting up there, and it has been up there. It's like going to a sporting event.
A family we sat next to where we were eating said $51 for a pass for his kid to do the rides, and it wasn't an all-day pass. It was only 10 rides. $51.
You know, Martha, I think I got your first picket sign ready. It says, Fair Fairs. We want fair fares.
All right, fair fares. All right, so now you've heard all my rants and raves. We better take care of advertisers quick so we get that done. Then we'll come back to current events. Then it'll be time to Love Train and then animals24-7.org followed by Ananda. And that covers our day. So listen, pay attention, support them, thank them. And Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed by all that's happening in the world? Triggered by people around you? What's going on in your personal life? Or shifting energies? Looking for inspired guidance? Need to talk? Natasha Ventner, intuitive personal awareness coach and medium, can help by sharing insights, tips, and tools to support you through life's glitches and snags. Natasha helps you empower yourself. Visit Natasha's website, intuitiveclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and heartfelt, caring approach can help you. That's intuitiveclarifications.com.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping, or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Talk radio with a purpose. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down hour number two of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from Natasha Ventor. Check her out at intuitiveclarifications.com, intuitiveclarifications.com. She has a YouTube channel, Natasha Ventor, and the letters IC for Intuitive Clarification, Natasha Ventor IC. That's where you'll find all her podcasts, and she's got lots of them up there. She continues to do a new podcast every Wednesday, 4 p.m. Check that out. And she's available for private readings, and you can schedule on her website, intuitiveclarifications.com, or you can give Natasha a call at 360-770-7486, 360-770-7486. All righty, before we run out of time, let's take care of current events. We got a lot of stuff here now. Pretty much everything is going on up at the Northwest Stream Center in Everett. I think maybe I have one other thing, but let's see. All kinds of stuff. Now, this week, Wednesday, September 10th, This event is Community Pint Night. So if you want to drink some beer, it's at Post Doc Brewing in Kenmore. It's this Wednesday, 7 to 4 p.m. And part of, you know, proceeds benefit Northwest Stream Center. So Post Doc Brewing in Kenmore this Wednesday, September 10th, 4 to 7 p.m. Then presentation All About Mushrooms with Esther Marks on Saturday, September 20th, 1 p.m. That's at the Northwest Stream Center. All of these, the rest of the events are at the Northwest Stream Center. Then let's see, we've got Lawns to Native Plant Landscape with Julie O'Donnell. Turn your lawn into a native plant wonderland. Saturday, September 27th, that's at 1 p.m. too. Killer Whale Tales, that's the great show with Jeff Hogan about the orcas. That's Saturday, October 4th, 1 p.m. And then All About Bats, Barbara Ogard, the bat lady from Sarvey Wildlife Rescue, is doing her presentation, which is fabulous, on Saturday, October 11th, 1 p.m. And then we've got International Fly Fishing Festival film screening at Northwest Stream Center. That'll be Saturday, October 18th, and that's at 4:30. Introduction to Wildlife Tracking. That sounds interesting. Learn how to track wildlife. Saturday, November 8th, 1 p.m. And then the last one I've got here, The Ecology of Hummingbirds. Ooh, I'm going to have to look at that one. Ecology of Hummingbirds with Greg Green on Saturday, November 15th at 1 p.m. So that uncovers the whole list for Northwest Stream Center, McCollum Park. And then coming up in September, Homeward Pet Adoption Center. There's No Place Like Home. Is their 5K run and walk. Homeward Pet, 5K run and walk. No Place Like Homeward Pet. September 13th, and you come rain or shine, and registration is open on the Homeward Pet Adoption Center website, which is homewardpet.org, and that would be it. So that wraps up our current events for this week, and man, a lot of great programs. Up at Northwest Stream Center. If you'd like more details, you can go to the Animal World website, marthanorwalk.com, and click on current events. You'll find lots more details and some pictures and links and stuff there. Or you can go to streamkeeper.org is Northwest Stream Keepers or Northwest Stream Center. That's their website, is streamkeeper.org. So you can check out things there. So, woohoo! All right, I think we covered all the bases, Nathan. We needed to, and so we are going to be winding up hour number two, firing up the love train one more time, and then we will be talking to Merritt and Beth and the chickens and Teddy the dog. First half of the next hour, and we've got a couple of big local stories. That on the agenda, I know. And then Nancy Callan's going to join us from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga for the last half hour of the show. We'll catch up with all, you know, the big classes and events coming up at Ananda. So that covers the bases. And just know that y'all have to get on the love train with me. Dancing is required. You don't get to opt out here, but you can dance in your head. You can dance in your bed. You can dance in your chair. You can dance anywhere. Get up on the love train. I'll cruise through and pick you up. And I always energize up the love train music with our yogi energization prayer. Give us a little more energy and juice for the day and the week. Here we go with that. Oh, infinite spirit, recharge our bodies with thy conscious cosmic energy. Our minds with thy concentration and determination, our soul and all souls with thy ever new joy. O eternal youth, the body and mind, abide in us forever and forever via the love train, and it's coming right up. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.